Welcome to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad you're joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. We have right now with us a man that really needs no introduction, L.A. Marzulli, lamarzulli.net. Folks, look, he's got a new DVD. Go to hagmanreport.com. Get that DVD. That's all I got to say to you. Okay, you really must watch that DVD, the latest one. It's on our website. Okay, if you haven't done so already, do that. How many times do I say, look, you've got to do this. This is up there with going to, if you can, Awaken to the Shaken Conference. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be revealed there. But this DVD is by far the best LA has done, bar none. So anyway, before we get to LA, I just want to mention, I want to welcome again, to our Hagman litany of, supporters and sponsors. Ready-made resources. I knew that. I'm looking right at the copy here too. And that's sad. I'm declining, right? It's measurable. It's a measurable decline. But that's okay. Now, you know one of those times when you got like 15 things going on inside your head.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, ready-made resources. Bob Griswold was on. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, anything and everything that you need for the coming apocalypse, short thereof, but seriously, preparation, the night vision, the communications, contact Bob Griswold, Robert Griswold, Ready Made Resources. Go there. Please follow the link, Ready Made Resources. One of the best of the best of the best places for night vision equipment, all equipment to get you through what's coming. And contact, again, Robert Griswold, Ready Made Resources, and make sure you tell him it's from Hagman and Hagman. That way we get that kickback that everyone says, oh yeah, you're getting a kick. No, that way he knows where you're coming from. Joe.
Yeah, we got, a fantastic interview planned for tonight. A lot of interesting stuff to get into. LA, where do you want to start tonight?
Well, you know, there's so much to talk about. One thing is really interesting to me, and it's this, that according to Fox News, they came out, and this is soft disclosure, by the way, folks. You know, when you look at stuff like this, it's soft disclosure. When Fox News comes out with like a little piece that's about, oh, a minute and a half long, you know, and they have graphs and they show this thing, UFO sightings at an all-time high, and no one does anything. It's like the American people just snooze. The church never addresses it for the most part, although there are pastors out there who do address it. Bully for those pastors. They're trying to wake up their flock. But for the most part, no one talks about this stuff. And yet, my unscientific poll that's actually in the film, in their own words, The Watchmen Chronicles, upwards of 30-35% of the people sitting in the pews right now have had a UFO experience. Lights in the sky, orbs, encounters of the second kind, seen craft land, actually had encounters with beings, sleep paralysis, been taken, close encounters of the fourth kind, abduction, implants, the whole deal. It's all in the film. It's all in the film. And when Fox News, you know, goes, and you know, the typical announcer voice, where you've discovered that there seems to be an uptick in UFO sightings are at an all-time high, and they show the graph, and what are we to think of this? I mean, here's the deal, guys. You know, when I was born in 1950, and I'm dating myself, and that's fine, okay? December of 1950, there's one UFO reported, one UFO. You fast forward to a couple years ago, it's like 1,000. So, you know, it's real, burgeoning, not going away, and yet most people don't want to talk about it. This is the coming great deception, in my opinion. When they show up, and they will show up at some point, because this cat and mouse game has been going on for flipping decades. Decades, they show up, they disappear. They show up, they disappear. I mean, if you're really from Zeta Reticuli, you know, hello, right? You know, what are you guys doing? Come on down here, we're tired of this nonsense, you know? I mean, seriously, right? But no one does that. They never show up. They never land on the White House long, and it just goes on and on and on. So look, for 20 years I wrestled with this one part of scripture. You had to ask me a question, didn't you? But this for about 20 years I've been wrestling with this, and it's from 2 Thessalonians, and it's controversial. And it says this, Paul's writing. He says, do not be troubled by word or deed or letter that has come to you, that the day of the Lord and our gathering to him has happened, because that will not happen until the great falling away or the falling away or the departure. And when you go online and you do an exhaustive study, there's all sorts of commentaries. The prevailing dominant view is that the word apostasia means apostasy. It's an actual breaking. It's a divorce. It's a marriage, okay? But then the minority view is that it's we're taken up. It's the rapture. So which is it? You know, it's typical. It's like we've got one scripture and 25 comments and different positions on one scripture. And I've wrestled with this for years. I now think, this is my latest phrase, that we go up, they show up. We go up, they show up. We go up, they come down. And that gets into the whole restrainer. Here's the deal. Think about this. There's 1.8 billion Christians on the planet. 1.2 billion of those are Catholic. With all due respect to our Catholic brethren, they don't have an eschatological dog in the hunt. They just don't. They're not looking for the same thing that most of us are looking for. They're just not. They're not taught end time prophecies like most of us are. So whether you're pre, mid, or post, let's just throw that on the back burner for a second. It really doesn't matter. The fact is 1.2 billion Catholics are already out of the equation. They're not looking for the rapture of a second coming. They look at Israel and say, well, you know, nice coincidence, who cares, right? For those of us who look at that, there's a differentiation between the church and Israel. They're two separate entities. The church is the church, Israel is Israel. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble for a reason, because it has to do with Jacob, has to do with Israel, not us, in my opinion. So the bottom line is this. I've already eliminated 1.2 billion Christians. So now you've got about, you know, 500 million left, 600 million left at the most, right? You can start narrowing that down by denomination where, I mean, I'm not going to start naming them, but you can just start winnowing out the people. There is a very small remnant of people on this planet that are expectant, that are looking up, that want the return of the King. Because I'll tell you something, guys, and this is a slight sidestep from what we're talking about. You can't fix this anymore. You can't fix what's going on. You can't fix the deep state. You can't fix the ideology of a Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who's once again going to run for president of Iran. Surprise, surprise. You can't fix the ideology of the mullahs who say death to Israel and death to the great Satan, U.S. You can't fix the ideology of Kim Jong-un, who's worshipped as a god, basically. Or the Pakistanis, if, like, you say one thing against Islam, they'll kill you. Or the idiot nurse running around in the Midwest performing female genital mutilations in the United States. Unprecedented. I mean, where am I here? You can't fix this. You can't fix $20 trillion in debt. You know, you can't fix a deep state with all their agenda and everything else. You can't go back to the Kennedy assassination and bring JFK back and shatter the CIA in 1,000 pieces. You can't. This is how far down the rabbit hole we are. You know, and then you start triggering the supernatural. All the UFOs are at an all-time high. I think we're in the window of time where something has to give. And, of course, that brings us to the saber rattling in Syria with the 59 Tomahawk missiles. I mean, is that a false flag? Why would Assad stand up and go, deep state, false flag? Which is completely contradictory to what we've been told. What's the truth? Somebody just give me the flipping truth. Look, we've got AWACS. We've got all sorts of intel and satellites that are positioned right over Syria. Are you kidding me? They know exactly who dropped those chemical weapons. They know exactly how it's been done. Why don't they show us that? If they're so sure Assad flew a plane over, show us the footage. Show us what it is. You've got the intel. You've got a satellite in fixed position, geosynchronistic orbit, right over Syria, right over. I know that for a fact. I know that. I mean, they can. Instead, we get these ridiculous pictures of throwing some kids on the back of a truck, washing them off with a hose, then some guy with a face mask who takes it off, and somebody else is drawing blood. I mean, I don't know what those images are. And that's the problem. There's no way to vet any of this. And, you know, CNN will say one thing, Fox News will say the other. What's the truth? Truth is dead, in my opinion. With that, you get the idea. And this is only the first question. Boy, are we in for trouble. With that, you get the idea of the Darwinian paradigm acting as a springboard. Because Darwin says that, okay, you know, all this just happened, life just happened here on its own, chance, billions of years, ta-da, the human being. With the complex systems that we have, like eye, memory, our olfactory senses, the tongue, which we can speak in language and we can hear, and the heart that beats, how does evolution know? Well, we're going to need a heart because we need a circulatory system. Why would evolution even know that? Of course it wouldn't, because it's mindless. So how does this design happen? And we know from a DNA, the spiral of life, the deoxyribonucleic acid double helix of life, that all life is built on building blocks. All life goes back to the coding in the DNA system. The neo-Darwinists are looking out there. They're looking for, they believe in panspermia. They're waiting the aliens to come and, hey, we're your progenitors. Hey, you know, we created all life on this planet. We seeded you here. Don't believe me? Watch Ben Stein's movie Expelled. He sits down with Dawkins, and that's what Dawkins is promulgating. The Ancient Aliens show every Friday, which is tonight. They promulgate the same thing. I'm just standing here going, this is the coming great deception. This entire phenomena is based on deception, on lies, and who is the father of lies? It's right out of the pit of hell.
Ellie, to the real quick, back to the UFO statistics. What, if any, is the correlation between technology and these sightings?
There definitely is a correlation, and we don't know how much is back engineered. What we're seeing in the sky, is it ours that's been back engineered? Is it theirs? In 1962 or 63, I saw my first UFO. I saw a second one much later, about 9 years ago, but it was not anything like this. In 62, it was the classic disc. I mean, we show, there's actually a clip in the beginning of the film, in their own words, The Watchmen Chronicles, where we show that disc. And that's, you know, thanks to Jaime Masson for letting us use the footage. I mean, it's a classic UFO, about 60 to 80, 100 feet wide, the classic dome shape, I mean, the flying saucer. And I'm out there with three of the Boy Scouts at Camp Horseshoe, Rising Sun, Maryland. I can take you to a map at Camp Horseshoe. I can show you the trail I was on, and I can take you on that trail and show you exactly where I was, providing they haven't changed the topography too much. But the trail is still there, and I know where the trail is. And we're walking up, and there's like, it's like a dry creek bed with all these boulders, and we're hopping from boulder to boulder. And there's four of us. There's one, two, three, and I'm the fourth guy in line. And I'm like 12 years old. It's a shortcut. The lead guy goes, wow, what's that? The other kids chime in, wow, what is that? And I turn, I go, where? And they go, there. And they point, and I look up, it's the classic silver disc. And the sunlight is like glinting off of it. And we're just blown away. We've never seen anything like this at all. And I gotta tell you something, guys. When you see it, it's mesmerizing. We saw it for at least 20 seconds. It might have been longer. There was no missing time. This thing was here, and all of a sudden it just went like this. Foop, gone. And as the way my hand went up like that, out of the shot, that's how fast this thing. It just went, wow. And we ran back to camp. We saw a UFO. We saw a flying saucer. I'll never forget. We're standing there, the four of us, and all these kids come out of the cabins, and the scoutmasters come out, you know, and all the leaders and stuff, and they're all gathered around us, and we're like, not hysterical, but we're hysterical. You know what I mean? We saw a UFO. We saw a flying saucer, and we're telling everybody what it looked like, how it departed, the whole thing. By 5 o'clock that night, because remember, this is the lunch hour, we're taking a shortcut back to get those, you know, barbecued weenies that everybody loves so much, right? So by 5 o'clock that night, the other three boys denied that they had seen anything. They said they just made it up. I, on the other hand, your your bearer of truth and integrity, refused to back down. And I was called all sorts of horrible names because I stuck to my story. It was my first lesson in herd mentality, that people will deny the truth in order to become part of the herd. Stay part of the herd. They'll deny what they see with their own eyes to stay in fellowship with the herd, whatever the herd is doing. And I just went, no way. I know what I saw, and I'm not backing down. So, you know,
if I can interject something here, I don't want to take you off your stride, but I think this is relevant. Now, I've never talked about this before. I was a young man back in 1966. July 31st, 1966, in our hometown, we've got a peninsula here in northwest Pennsylvania. It's Presque Isle Peninsula. It juts out into the bay, Lake Erie Bay, and then, of course, there's Lake Erie. But July 31st, 1966, on this peninsula, at right around sunset, said a little afterwards, there was a this big, huge situation where a light came from the sky and hovered over the treetop level, disc shape, according to some witnesses. There were about a half a dozen witnesses. In fact, a group of young kids, not children, young teens, got teenagers got their car stuck in the sand. They're waiting for help. The reports on that day, on July 31st, the newspaper reports the next day, I should say, said that the craft, whatever it was, landed, there was the vibrations around, there was concurrent with that, or following that, there were sightings of, quote, Bigfoot. This was a Bigfoot-type creature. Now, just put that on hold for a second. Going back to the sighting of the craft, and I remember this, and in fact, there were six names in the newspaper on August 2nd, 1966. The six people who witnessed this whole event of this craft landing. Okay, the Air Force came up here. There was the Civil Defense at that time came up here. They measured for radiation. They said they found none. However, the state police officer who I worked with in 1987-88 investigated that incident as well. They impounded a car briefly that had scratch marks on the top of the vinyl, or not vinyl, but cloth soft top of this vehicle, where this unknown Bigfoot kind of Yeti looking whatever it was had scratched the top portion of the car. Two separate incidents, however, closely related to one another in terms of approximate time. What I found interesting was the Air Force sent up people from the Youngstown, Ohio Air Base. I can't remember what it's called down there in Ohio, but nonetheless, nothing was ever found and nothing further was ever said. This was the talk of our town back then for a week, and I, again, speaking with the investigator who responded as a police officer for the state police at the time, said that, man, there was something there. We don't know what it was, but it's not being reported in its entirety. And he's since passed on without me being able to get the full story. But isn't this something, how you're talking about these incidents? And, well, I don't know. I had to share that. I don't think I've ever talked about that before, but you got me talking about it. Go ahead.
You know, and here's the deal, guys, that, I mean, you know that the town was talking about it. And did any pastor address that? Did anyone from, our neck of the woods address it? Most of they just stay away from it. And see, this is the problem. Here in America, anybody who talks about the UFOs gets to wear their tinfoil hat. And that's why I display mine very proudly right here behind her. And you can also see this. This is a tinfoil hat area. And, I kind of do it tongue in cheek. Because this, it's got to stop. The nonsense, the ridicule, anybody who wants to talk about an encounter is immediately branded a conspiracy theorist, a tinfoil hat wearer, and every other derogatory name. And this is, it's worked. This is precisely what the powers that be have done. And you can even see it on Fox News or whatever. When they report on a UFO sighting, they always yuck it up. They never, ever treat it like seriously. Well, Bob, we had those little gray men are back again. That's right, Ted. And here to talk about it is Jenny. Jenny, what did you see? And they passed the mic. Well, I looked up and I saw this UFO. And, they all kind of yuck the thing up and everybody laughs. And they all go home and, I'll see you at the game on Saturday. And it's like, this is wacky. Look, the phenomenon is real, is burgeoning, is not going away. This is why when I'm at several places, I'm at a church down in his presence down in Alabama. I'm at the Koinonia House Conference in Ohio. Both of these places have upwards of 1,000 people. And I ask, how many of you have seen UFOs, lights in the sky, and an encounter with a being, sleep paralysis, raise your hand? About 30% in both of these places raised their hand. 30%. I remember the pastor's son in Alabama sitting there in the second row like this. It's like, what's this guy doing here, right? And so when I asked that question, he came up to me afterwards and he said, L.A., I was like, Mr. Skeptic. I thought this whole thing is a bunch of hooey. I thought we'd have one or two people raise their hand. He told me he was flabbergasted when he looked behind him and saw what amounted to be a couple of hundred hands up in the air. He was completely blown away by that. Folks, it's time we start talking about this phenomenon because it is being held back. In my opinion, I think it's literally being restrained.
In LA, let's, one of the reasons that you're on tonight is to talk about the Watchmen Chronicles, your DVD series, the UFO experience that you talked about. One of the questions here is why, what made you want to make and what made you get into the Watchmen Chronicle idea and to put that into motion? Was that your own personal experience? Was it others' experiences or both?
Well, it's a combination. We've made 10 Watchers films under the umbrella of the Watchers series. And this is a step away from that. We did 10. That series is pretty much closed down. Richard Shaw and I did 10 shows together, but I felt it was time for me to go off on my own. I produced, directed, and did all the editing on it. And the reason for this is content. There are things I have to say, want to say, need to say. And when you get, you guys know this, you get two or three people in a room, everyone's pulling on ideas, well, I want to do this, well, I want to do this. And I just felt it was time to step away. There's no animus between Rick and I. He's a great guy. I love him. But it was just time to move off on my own and create this series. And the impetus from it, the nexus was, again, going out to conferences and just asking for a show of hands and then going, my gosh, people have seen this stuff. And then my next thing was, hey, if you want to come on the camera with me and tell me about your story, come on camera. And we do this. We have everything. There's probably 20 people that come on the record. In their own words, UFOs are real, as the Watchmen Chronicles. Everything from lights in the sky to craft to being taken on the craft, missing time, being put down. The cold car was taken, shape-shifting entities, the whole gamut. And these people are telling it in their own words. Without this film, for the most part, they'd never had this type of a platform. And so everybody in the film is a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Some instances, some experiences happened before they were Christians. Others happened after they were Christians. And there's also this one thing, throughout the entire story. And you guys know this, having interviewed hundreds of people. You can tell when somebody's pulling your leg, for the most part. You get a feel that this guy's not a straight shooter. He's not telling me the truth here. And you know that. Everybody looks right at the camera. They tell their story. They tell their story in their own words. And that's really, the idea for the film. I teamed up with a CGI guy, a computer-generated imagery graphic design artist, Wesley Sangiorgi, who did a bang-up job. So as, let's say, Al, who was one of the centerpieces of the film, Al is talking about the first time he had the UFO encounter. All of a sudden, Al is continuing, but Wesley has brought it to life. We see a skating rink, in Canada in the middle of winter. And they're out there skating, and all of a sudden, three UFOs appear. So as he's telling a story, it's all moving. So it's not just people in front of a camera. We've recreated a lot of the stories, which is fantastic. So it really moves the entire film along. And I got to tell you, we've had just great reports from people that have watched the film, and just glowing reports saying thank you for doing this. And it's been really cool. So it's been great for me to get those kind of reports from people who've watched the film, and we're already working on number two, and number three and four are actually up on the drawing board. So
has that created or spawned additional reports to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And what's interesting about this, Doug and Joe, it's or Joe and Doug, however whatever it is. I've been asking people, if you've got photographs, if you want to come on Skype, come on. So I do like these updates on YouTube, my YouTube channel, L.A. Marzulli. We're up to like 55,000 subscribers in less than 14 months, which for me, I'm just really proud of that. So we're getting about 1,000 new subscribers a week now. That's taking off. But if you have a story and you want to come, email me at L.A. at lamarzulli.net. If you want to come on the record, we can do a Skype call. I'll film the whole thing and we'll talk about it. It's become sort of like a little UFO hub here. I talked to a guy today he's got missing time. He saw a craft. He's got some pictures that he sent. And this is ongoing. When you go to the YouTube channel, you'll hear. So even though the film is done, and I'm not going to go back and do In Their Own Words, UFOs Are Real, Volume 2, although that may happen later on. Who knows? It's great because what it does is it gets people talking. So already it's beginning to happen. Already people are coming out of the woodwork and they're talking. And I love that. I think it's fantastic.
Well, we got about, we got about a minute and a half until the break. And we have the break in the middle of this hour. In the next hour, we'll skip the middle break to keep the flow going. what is the central theme of this latest, The Watchmen Chronicle?
Well, basically, you know, the central theme, of course, is really to warn the church, but also to try to get pastors to begin to discuss this. There are, at the end of the film, and this isn't really a spoiler alert, but at the end of the film, several pastors come on. There's pastors all the way through it. We've got a man by the name of Pastor Frank Bolella from Living Word Community Church in New Jersey. We've got Carmen McIndotti from the Poconos, who's also a pastor. Pastor Matt Fisher from that same church in the Poconos. To name just three of the pastors, Pastor Billy Crone, whom I know you guys know, comes on the record. Paul McGuire comes on the record. Gary Stearman comes on the record. All talking about that, you know what, folks? We need to start discussing this. The church needs to wake up and begin to, people, what does this have to do with salvation? That's what I get. Oh, LA, this has nothing to do with people's salvation. That's what the naysayers will say. And I go, look, Paul tells us that once we're saved, we don't need to continually go back to the doctrine of salvation. We don't need to, you know, as believers, we now move on to maturity. And so, you know, I'll give a salvation message. I have no problem with that. But the bottom line is, what I'm doing is for believers to arm the believer to understand that these times that we're living in are basically unprecedented. And that if a mile wide craft lands or shows itself and just hovers there tomorrow, that's it. It's the game changer. Again, I think as we go up, they show up. Because I think the Spirit of a living God is restraining this phenomenon. I mean, and you know what's interesting, guys? You know, guess where the hot spot is? California.
Hold that thought, L.A. We're up against our break. We'll pick up right there when we come back. Folks, we're talking with L.A. Marzulli, lamarzulli.net. He is our guest. He's going to be with us till the end of the show, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Army's kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Army's kit at www.changelessonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes.
Even when it's a far away, you keep on in.
That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Good Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. L.A. Marzulli is our guest. His website, lamarzulli.net. He also has a radio show, Acceleration Radio, with L.A. Marzulli every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And go to his website for more details on that. And we're talking with L.A. about the Watchmen Chronicles special and his latest upcoming DVD in the Watchmen Chronicles. Before the break, L.A., you were talking about the most UFO sightings are seen in California?
Yeah, which is sort of humorous. That's my state, the communist state of California, where our governor now has to tax us even more by adding another 13 cents to the gas tax. Thanks a lot, Governor Brown, because no matter how much money they give them, it's never quite enough, just like Judge Report's record taxes this last quarter, and they still can't balance the budget. Drain the swamp. I mean, we can go down that rabbit hole. It has nothing to do with the film, so I'll make it brief. But the bottom line is, until we drain the swamp and get rid of the career politicians, the American people are hosed. That's why you got Mitch McConnell going, well, you know, we can't get around the tax reform maybe till next year. Meanwhile, I'm paying upwards of 50% of my income to the state and feds. Are you kidding me? So California is the hot spot. There are several reasons for it. It's a very large state, but it's also on the ocean. And right outside my window, literally, when I'm up on my upper deck and I live in the Santa Monica Mountains, I've got a view down the canyon. It's a blue water view. I've been up here since 1978. It was the boondocks when I moved up here. There still are no sidewalks or street lamps or anything like that. I'm on well water. I have two water wells. So that gives you an idea. It's the boonies here. So when I moved here in 1978, people laughed. It's like, you know, tune your banjo type thing. And it was definitely, you know, a little redneck. And we won't go into that. Outside, when I look down the window, I can see San Nicolas Island, some of the Channel Islands. And the remains of a Nephilim, in my opinion, giants upwards of 9 feet tall, have been found on those islands. What's interesting is that trench between the Channel Islands and where we are is one of the deepest trenches in all the oceans of the world. That baby is really, really deep. And that's the place to hide. They can just sit there and who's going to find them? Nobody's going to find them, nor will they see them. Now, a pastor friend, again, this is Gary Zephyrs, who's a pastor friend in Malibu here, and he's got a house that perches up on a bluff lot and looks out at the ocean. He's got an amazing, amazing view. And he's sitting there one night, and he saw like six or seven of these things doing this. Meow, 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 just like that, all over the ocean. Now, he didn't get any photographs of it, but that just gives you an idea. There's a hot spot out here, there's no doubt. But the United States of America leads in UFO sightings over any other country. And isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and I think with Stan Deo, once those latest figures about the UFO sightings came out and came out by country, we kind of went over this a little bit, and we were wondering, is it a lack of reporting from countries like Russia and China versus the Western nations like Australia, the U.S., some areas in South America? They have pretty frequent sightings, but there seemed to be a blackout from other parts of the world, and we figured that was due to the governments and the cultures there. And you talk about hotspots up here in Pennsylvania over Lake Erie. We have a hotspot here too, and for years I would be outside with my telescope and just with my naked eye, and I've seen some very interesting things that I still am not able to describe. And I had all the I had the Stellarium on my computer, I had satellite trackers and flight trackers to make sure I wasn't seeing things that could be explained. But I know what you're talking about with the hotspots, and it's a very it's very elusive, but it's very interesting at the same time. And we don't have to go too far down this road, but I guess my question would be, you talked about the spiritual implications of this. You know, we'll say when the church goes away, these people come. These are spiritual entities. what are they coming here now for? What would be the purpose of them? I mean, they don't need practice, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't need practice.
So what would be the purpose?
It's a very complex issue to discuss. Very complex. And, you know, there are people who maintain that, oh, this is all demonic delusion and it's really not happening. And if you hear that, folks, in my opinion, run to the nearest exit because it's a bunch of hooey. I've been doing this for, I don't know, since 1990. Do the math. Almost, you know, it's been a while, right? And almost 30 years. And before that, when I was 16, you know, I saw my first one at 12, and basically all through my teenage years, Eric Von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods. I mean, I was a follower. I was a New Age guy, had a guru, and didn't come to Christ till I was 30 years old, which is now 37 years ago. So, you know, I've been following this forever. And in the film, we have people that have had encounters. And it's not demonic delusion. That's why our Watchers series and Watchers 7 and 8, when we took out Bill's implant, people used to laugh, you know, 15 years ago when I began talking about this. And this same crowd of people within the church insisted that all this was demonic delusion. Well, we took the implant out. It's on film. That's not demonic delusion. So what are we looking at? Plus, that implant vanished. We couldn't find it, which is a three-hour conversation. Something is going on here. The bottom line is this, that this cat-and-mouse game will continue. And in the meantime, there is a breeding program. Dr. David Jacob talks about it. Other people talk about it. And the reports that come across my desk, okay, and I'm gonna read you one, okay? I'll change the names. And this is what we do on my YouTube channel. As stuff comes across, and folks, if you're listening, you have a story, la@lamarzulli.net, la@lamarzulli.net. And, you know, you can email me the story. I mean, if you've got pictures, that's even better, because, I mean, this is kind of what we do here. Let me see. If I can get it here. Oh, come on now. Where is it? I don't believe this.
That always happens, doesn't it?
it never fails. I go to my file and it's not there. The bottom line is this, and I talk to this woman. She's driving and there are these two entities on the sidewalk and they're out of place. And it's like they're at the corner, but they're not sure what to do. And she senses they don't know what to do. And they, she looks at them and then she realizes as she drives by that they're not human. I want to read another one because this will be really interesting. And I've got this one right in front of me now. So you can check this out. Okay. Dear LA, I've been holding on to this info for a long time and for still some reason, though, I'm afraid to share it, but I'm sharing it to hopefully gain some information of just what we saw that day. In June, I was with my husband and daughter at our local county fair. While my daughter was on a ride, we noticed two younger-looking people walking around to the left of us, heading towards the ride. We stood and watched these two, which looked male and female, possibly brother and sister. They looked very similar. They moved in sync, and not at all like human walks. So right off the bat, this person writing to me knows that something's off here. One tried to gain access to the ride, and the gate was shut. The carnival worker stuck out his hand like, hey, what the heck are you doing? They stood waiting together for the ride to end. So normal people don't do that. Hybrids will, because hybrids haven't grown up with this. So they're coming into the culture and for the most part have no idea how to really interact with this. Let's continue. My gut was in check. First honest thoughts were these kids were high on drugs. My husband and I both gave each other the same look like these guys are really messed up. My daughter got off the ride and began to walk away. I turned back to look. Here it is. And these two people, these two entities, were standing there with their necks arched up in an impossible way and smirking at me. This was broad daylight, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't say anything to my husband in front of my daughter, but I knew what I saw was not human, but acting like a human. I waited till later to talk to my husband. I was hoping he would say yes. I saw these two weirdos. They must have been on drugs. And then maybe I could have tried to forget what I saw. Instead, my husband looked straight me in the eye. My husband looked at me straight in the eye and said, they were not human. My heart just sunk. These beings are some type of reptilian who had physical human-looking bodies were at our small town fair. This is no joke or deranged fantasy. I wish I had never seen them, and it it had been confirmed by another witness, my husband. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm an evangelist. I have seen incredible things in my life, even angels. But I have never seen anything like I did that day, and I need to know if there are others out there who have witnessed the same thing. I believe it's important to try to understand what kind of purpose and threat these beings have and what we can do about it. And there you go. So here's this woman holding on to this since 2012, afraid to tell anybody. But she'll tell me because she knows I won't laugh at her. She knows I won't ridicule her, and she knows I believe her story, and I do. And the bottom line is there is a breeding program going on. And that's a very deep conversation. It's very unsettling. It's very unnerving. However, I would point the careful biblical student back to Genesis 3:15, which is when I sign books at conferences, I write Gen 3.15. And there's a reason for it, because I believe it's the pre-incarnate Jesus is in the garden. Adam and Eve are over there. Hasatan, the serpent, is over here. Okay? And Jesus says this, talking of a serpent, your seed, the seed of a serpent, will be at war, at enmity with the seed of the woman. He, Messiah, will crush your head. You will bruise his heel. That sets up, in my opinion, the rest of the biblical prophetic narrative. Now, there are people that want to tap dance around this and tell us that the seed of a serpent really isn't the seed of a serpent. Mm-hmm. That's not really what it means. But it is. Three chapters later in Genesis 6, that's what we see. This seed war, as Gary Stearman calls it, has gone on since before the flood, since the garden, the days of the garden, and comes up to modernity. And what does Jesus warn us? It'll be like the days of Noah when I return. So there you go. In the days of Noah, the Nephilim were on the earth, and that was the seed of the serpent. And this is why, unless we understand Genesis 3:15, when we get to Genesis 6, we're clueless. When we get to the Tower of Babel, we're even more clueless. When we get to Sodom and Gomorrah, we have no idea what's going on. And when we get to the Promised Land, and the Nephilim tribes are there, well, I guess that's just genocide. See where it goes? And then when Jesus says it'll be like the days of Noah at the coming of the Son of Man, what differentiates the days of Noah? And in my opinion, it is the presence of the Nephilim on this planet. And look, I've had literally dozens of people who have encounters with black-eyed kids, hybrid entities, shapeshifters. This stuff is real. And you know what? Doug and Joe, it's manifesting more. More and more and more. Why? Because we're in the last days. We're in the end times. And that's why this stuff is being seen.
And you make a few good points there. I want to kind of focus on the hybrids, because one of the interesting points here is the hybrids among us. You have a few stories in the Watchmen Chronicles about people's personal encounters, and I think one in particular is a man named Al.
Yes.
But this is always fascinating to me, the hybrids among us. Some people, and folks, you can go on YouTube and see videos where you'll have YouTubers pointing out, I guess you'd call them reptilian tendencies on newscasters or people being interviewed and whatnot. And, you know, it's kind of, I mean, you can see it if you look. But what are some of the things that are going on that people are encountering with these hybrids that we won't see on YouTube?
And you're not. Al's story is very, very unnerving. And in some ways, Al's testimony is sort of the centerpiece of the film. I mean, there's a lot of people that come and go in the film that talk about their encounters in their own words. That's the title of the film. And Al does so, too. And, you know, it didn't start this way. When I interviewed Al, I flew to Vancouver to interview him, and I was taken aback by his story. And we basically, he appears three different times in the film. The first time, which we talked about already, is his ice skating rink. That's the first time he has an encounter with these craft. And all the other boys go inside, and he's standing out in the rink, looking up at them, going, you know, I want to know what you are. And as he says that, he's hit with this warm feeling of peace and love. It's like an angelic feeling. And of course, I believe that that's part of a deception. And later on, he flees the eastern coast of Canada because the abductions and the encounters have become so strange and so unnerving. And he talks about this in one of the segments in the film. He's driving in his car. He's coming home from work. He's going about a mile away from his exit where he's going to turn. It's 5 minutes from his cottage, right? He goes past the exit with no, in his own words, with no discernment. So he knows he's about to be switched off. He knows that. Yet he keeps driving. 4 hours later, and again, Wesley Sangiorgi brings all this to life with his incredible CGI that he does, where we see Al in the car and he's vibrating. 4 hours later, the entire car has been taken by the craft. The entire car. And the car is being lowered from the craft like this. Lowered from the craft in this white, brilliant stream of light, unlike anything you've ever seen. And Al's in the front seat like this, shaking, vibrating. And the car lands on the road. The car starts itself, and the car drives itself for a period of time until Al can reach up and grab the wheel. And he realizes, get this, 4 hours of missing time, and he's about 120 kilometers from where he was supposed to be. That's just one story. What do you do with that? With that? But getting back into the shapeshifter, so he flees the east coast of Canada because of that experience. He told me after that experience, he went back to his cottage. He crawled up into a fetal position on the bed and cried and said, why me? What's going on? And he fled the east coast and went out to Vancouver. So now it's years later, and for the most part, he's not been hassled. He's trying to get a normal life. He's still not a Christian at this point. And he's working for a moving company, and he's told that this woman from Kuwait is coming in with a container. So he drives to the place, and he's waiting for the woman to show up, and the woman shows up, and she's a very pretty gal, and she gets out of the car, and they exchange pleasantries, small talk, and he's going to move the furniture into her flat for her and, you know, unload the car. And he's just making small talk with her, saying like, well, you know, why did you move from Kuwait? It's so beautiful there now that the war's over. And she turns to him and the conversation changes. She changes and she goes, there's going to be another war. And, you know, it gets really strange. A couple of hours later, they're in the elevator going up to where her stuff is, and she leans over and she whispers in his ear, they're listening. They're listening. And he goes, Al goes, who's listening? And this woman, whose name is Diane, goes, you know, Al, the Grays. We were supposed to meet. That's what she tells him. And I know that you've been abducted many times. And so have I. And we were supposed to meet. That's what she tells him. Now, at this point, she's never met him. All this is on film. I mean, and Wesley does a great job of bringing it to life. And she goes, he's completely taken aback by this. But they've never met. She has no idea who he is or what he's experienced. They've never met before. And I ask him, I say, you know, did you know this lady? I mean, have you talked to her before? No. So why is this going on? And he's absolutely, you know, flabbergasted and freaked out basically at this point, because she's saying things that, how does she know he's been taken many times? So he's very curious about how she knows all this, and he gives her his phone number. And in the film, I go, mistake number one, and we both laugh about it. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, she calls him on the phone and invites him up. Hey, why don't you come up over to my friend's house? We'll have some drinks, you know, have some fun, whatever. So he goes to the place, and he knows he shouldn't go, but he goes anyway because he wants to find out more. He wants to find out how this woman knows so much about him. So he walks up. Oh, one thing I forgot to tell you. all the time, from the moment he met this woman till the very end, she's got these very, very dark sunglasses on, and they wrap around her head. They're tight to her eyes, and they wrap around the sides of her head, so no light can get in. And at this point, he's figuring, oh, she's got an eye problem or something going on there. You know, she's very sensitive to light, but that's what he's thinking to himself. So she comes, they buzz Al up. Al goes up to this flat. She introduces Al to her friend. She's still wearing these very dark glasses, and they're having wine and making small talk. And they've got these huge goblets of wine, and one of them is set down in front of Al. And so Al looks over, and there's a very large, for those of you who know what a deer fly is or a horse fly, they're really big. They're like, they can be like an inch long. There's basically this horrendous black fly around the rim of her wine glass. And he goes, and it's not moving. And he goes, let me get a Kleenex. I'll get it for you. And she says this, no, I'll get it, Al. And she reaches over to the wine glass, right, with her finger extended. And she doesn't grab the fly. The fly sticks to her index finger, and she brings it up to her mouth about this far away and goes like that and sucks it in. And at this point, Al is completely freaked out because we're not in Kansas anymore. At this point, she takes off her glasses, and she goes and sits on Al's lap. And I stop the interview right there. I go, Al, you've got a girlfriend. Why is this normal behavior? And he goes, no, I don't, you know, it's not normal behavior. I go, why would you allow it? You wouldn't allow this to happen. He goes, yeah, I know. But he's like perplexed. Why is this happening? Her glasses are off, and she leans in to kiss him. At this point, he pushes her away, all right, and her eyes shapeshift. Her eyes go from human to what can only be called reptilian. And she lets out, in his own words, in Al's words, the most evil laugh he's ever heard in his life. And he flees the place, and she's running after him, and he flees the place, and he comes back to a mutual friend of ours, Gordy Tong, and I talked to him like hours after this happened. He's completely freaked out. We Skyped. I prayed for him on the phone, and all, I don't want to give the spoiler alert because we save it to the very end of the film, but most of you understand that dealing with me and Gordy Tong, we led him at some point to a relationship with Jesus. So that's the good news. But Al goes on the record and he says, you know, I now know that the Bible is true, but it took this to get me to here. I used to scoff at the Bible. I didn't believe it. It's all a bunch of hooey, but it took this episode to push me to find an answer. And we had the answers for him. And since then, he has not had an abduction. So hybrid entities are real. They are walking amongst us. You know, people can scoff at that. Hopefully you'll never see one. I don't want to see one. But when you do, all bets are off. And I've got another one. I know we're getting close to break. If you want one, I can.
LA, that's why I'm glad I'm not in the dating pool anymore.
Yeah, no kidding.
But we got 3 minutes. Wow. Yeah, we got 3 minutes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here's a story, and I'll keep this guy's anonymous, and I'll just do it in his own words. I am a college student. I am a large man, about 5'11", and weigh about 325. I lift weights, but also have a high body fat count, which I'm currently working on. Buying clothes is always a task for me. They're either too small or not enough variety at local stores. So this guy's big. I'm 6 feet. So, but I'm only like 190, 185, 190. So 325? I mean, are you kidding me? The guy's huge, right? I recently ordered a pair of pants from Amazon. They were military style combat pants, black in color with side pockets. I ordered these because of a trip to Florida in which I would be attending a series of public events and I would need the space. I received them in the mail and noticed a distinct error in the size. They were enormous. I am large, but could easily have fit another version of me inside of them. I called Amazon to complain and they told me to send them back and they would refund the money. I complained and I just wanted the correct size and not a refund. The person I was speaking to hung up the phone. This is where it goes into the Twilight Zone. Now this is where it gets strange. I received a call back almost immediately from a person saying they were a second tier customer support from Amazon. The number was unlisted, but the name Amazon came up. I was told by a man that I will have the current shipment picked up and a suitable replacement delivered. Stop right there. Nobody does that. Nobody does that for a pair of pants. Okay? That's off the charts wacky. You know, Amazon's not going to send the driver out to me because I got the wrong pant size. Ain't going to happen. And by the way, we need to pray for this guy. Because what happens? Do we have enough time to finish the story, you think?
Well, why don't you hold it right there?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger.
This is fascinating. And you're right. Amazon does not do that. In fact, I don't know of any place that does that. But I'd be looking at those pants in a big way. For a lot of reasons, I can't wait to hear what does happen. Folks, before we get to the break, again, I want to remind everyone, Awaken to the Shaken, May 5th and 6th, please register. It's free. Registration is free. It's in Gurnee, Illinois. If you're within a day's drive of that, you can't beat it. And you visit Paul Begley's website or visit HagmanReport.com, HagmanandHagman.com. There you'll find the banner ad for that. Please. Let's blow the doors out, blow the walls out, because what we will do there, Russ Dizzar is going to be there, Pastor Paul Begley, Joe, myself. What we're going to be talking about is some pretty heavy duty things. Joe's got his ready. I'm ready to go. It's going to be fabulous. So, Awaken to the Shaken, May 5th and 6th. It's coming fast. So please register to guarantee your spot. All right.
And our guest this hour and through the next hour is L.A. Marzulli. His website is lamarzulli.net. We're talking about the Watchmen Chronicles special. He's got his latest DVD out on the Watchmen Chronicles. Make sure you get that also. Tune into Acceleration Radio with L.A. Marzulli Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And again, the website is lamarzulli.net. He'll be with us in through the next hour. We're going to continue to talk about some of these personal testimonies and experiences from the Watchmen Chronicles, as well as venture into some other areas.
Can't wait to hear what happens in those pants.
Paranormal related. Yeah, we'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
How long?
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.